Hey, what's happening, everybody? Jared here, excited for today's session. Going back to basics a little bit here, talking about Rainmaker's suite of attraction tools. Chris Garrett will be joining me on today's journey through the suite of attraction tools. How are you, Mr. Garrett?
I'm doing good. Other than the seasonal flu that's going around, I'm doing great.
Very nice. All right, with that said, Chris, let's do it. Okay, so a quick roadmap for today. We are going to start out talking about ARC, and that is, of course, attraction, retention, and conversion. So we're going to talk about that because the tools that we're talking about today, they all have a purpose, and that is the purpose, so that we can attract an audience and then retain them, and then obviously convert in whatever way we're trying to convert. And then we'll walk through some tools. So we're going to walk through the social media and syndication tools of Rainmaker. We're going to walk through the curation features inside of Rainmaker. And then we're also going to take a deep dive into landing pages and email because we got a number of questions about landing pages and specifically how you link landing pages with your email and really kind of create a funnel. And so we're going to talk about that. And then a few of you asked about SEO. And so we will give kind of a brief teaser answer in our What About SEO section. So that is where we're going today. This will be fun. If we have any time at the end to answer questions, we certainly will. If you have questions about specific features as we go, answer them. We have Amelia and Brian who are in the chat who are going to be able to answer your questions. And if they notify us and we see one that's worth kind of bringing up here, we'll bring it up to everybody as well. So with that said, Chris, let's talk about ARC.
Yeah, so many of you will have heard me talk about attraction, retention, and conversion before. If you've been to the conferences or listened to any of our podcasts or webinars, you've probably heard us talk about it. But essentially, you don't want to be driving traffic. You want to attract the right people at the right time with the right message. Then you need to engage them, keep them happy and sticking around. That's the retention and engagement part. And then when it's appropriate, when they're ready, you need to sell stuff. You need to get them to take action. So that's the conversion part. But my little pal at the end here on the right, the little robot, he's representing automation. So you go through it the first few times you do anything and you do a launch and you sell a service or a product, you're going to do most everything manually, right? But you don't want to do everything manually, you want to automate it. And this is the thinking behind the whole Rainmaker platform idea. The idea that you generate traffic, you build your content, and you engage and you drive sales. So attraction, retention, and conversion with some automation. So if we go to the next slide, this is a different way of looking at it. This is a content marketing strategy in a single slide. And at the top there, we've got offline and online attraction methods. So what do? You get face-to-face referrals, you get word-of-mouth referrals, you do workshops, you attend events, you speak at events, you hold meetings. Anywhere you can be visible and helpful, that's going to be attractive. But online, what we need to do is we need to participate in communities like forums and social media. We need to do blogging, podcasting, hold webinars, do Q&As, be interviewed on other people's podcasts, write articles. So we create content, we do things that make us valuable to the communities we're trying to enter, and that makes us attractive. And that attracts also search because all of that activity, that content, is valuable to search engines because they're trying to answer people's questions. And that drives people to your blog. It drives people to your podcast via iTunes and all of those services. And through that content and through that engagement and sharing your knowledge and your expertise, you can get people to join your email and to follow you on social media. And that's where the retention comes in. So you can eventually sell them products and services, put them onto customer lists. So it's a flow, and usually we show this kind of as a cycle, but Brian's got a diagram that he likes to show, which is basically the circles of intimacy. It's how people become more and more engaged. So you see at the outside edge, we've got the social network followers. So we need to be in social network. It might be the first place that people hear about us, and they're going to hear about our content rather than us. So Tanya's showed up in their question box, and so I'm going to pick on Tanya. I'm going to say, you might not know Tanya, but you see somebody link to one of Tanya's articles, you're going to click on it, and it's going to take you to her website. The next stage, which is a little bit more engaging, is your content is an answer to their question in search. So search engine visitors are a little bit more engaged. And if you look like you have the full solution that the person is looking for, you're going to do very well from the search traffic. You're going to sell lots of products and services, or you know, your nonprofit cause is going to get a lot of volunteers and donations. But when people start visiting your website, instead of just clicking a link in Twitter or on Facebook, they start visiting your website, they become your content audience. And that's great. Return visitors are great, but you can't rely on them, and they've no set schedule, and basically either visiting every day, which would be nice, or they're remembering to visit on a regular basis. So really you want them as your specific email audience. You want to put them onto a list that is particular to what they want to hear about. And that's a much better audience. So the next stage from that is they don't just go onto an interest list, they go onto a customer list or a client list. So they're super engaged. And obviously the ultimate end of the rainbow pot of gold is people who are repeat customers and clients. So what we're building with a website on Rainmaker, it's not just about being a content delivery platform. It's not just about being a blog. It's about how you get people all the way through this system so they end up as a happy repeat customer and they're telling other people about how wonderful you are. That's the goal. That's the end point. So it starts at attraction, you go through retention, and you end up at conversion. And a lot of people sign up for Rainmaker because they want to sell a course, because they want to have a membership site, because they want to sell a service. Or they say, I want to do a podcast. But don't look at it in isolation. Look at it how it fits into the overall ecosystem, how it fits into your workflow, and how it's going to fit into your marketing strategy so that you can take people from being unaware of you through to being loyal advocates. So I talked for a lot. Over to you, Jared, while I cough.
All right. So, no, that's a great description, Chris. And it leads right into the first question that we want to address. And we're going to address this over the next couple of sections, actually, because there's a lot to unpack here. This is a question from Rosalind. And she says, is there a way to curate info or to schedule my blog posts through Rainmaker? I currently use Feedly and Buffer, respectively, for my social media postings to Twitter and LinkedIn. So, again, if we go back to the circles of belief here, we start up here with social network. And how do we attract people here on this outer edge so then we can bring them in a little bit closer and then, you know, get them exposed to our content, hopefully get them on a list, make them a client. But we have to start out there. You know, we have to attract that attention first. And so Rosalind's question kind of hits at that. So we want to take this opportunity here to answer her question in a couple of ways, and in doing so, show you some of these attraction tools inside of Rainmaker that will help you do this. So we're going to start out talking about the social media and syndication tools inside of Rainmaker. So first, let's start with social media. And what I'll show you right now is how you use the social media scheduler. So if we go back to Rosalind's question, you know, she's asking about how do you schedule posts. And I'm assuming she didn't just mean how do you schedule a post to go out at a later time, because obviously when you're in there working on a post, you can schedule it to be published at any date and time, but you can also schedule that post to be tweeted out or to be sent to your Facebook page or to your LinkedIn account as well. And that's what we'll walk through and show you. And I do want to say this before we begin too. We didn't plan any time in this session to go over blog posts, to go over podcasting. We've done those in previous sessions. They are very important parts of attraction, and Rainmaker does have very extensive tools there, but we're not going to talk about that today. So if you do have questions about those, let us know, because if there's demand, we will certainly do another one of those sessions in 2017, but we're not going to talk about it today. So let's go through the social media scheduler inside of Rainmaker, and this is the type of tool that, you know, may help you replace a Buffer or a Hootsuite or another tool that you're using for social media scheduling. And here's how it works. So if you click on your gear icon in your Rainmaker control panel and in the control bar, then you can go down here and click on social. And that will bring you to the social settings. And so this right here is blank social settings. So if you haven't set up your social media settings at all, this is what it will look like. And then you just have to go through here and connect to Twitter, connect to Facebook, connect to LinkedIn, and get all of your accounts situated. And so I went through and did this for my site assembly call. And so I went through and connected on Twitter. When you do Facebook, you first connect with your personal account, and that can freak you out a little bit just because, you know, you may think, well, I don't want these posts going out on my personal account. Well, don't worry. Once you connect to your personal account, then you can connect to a page that is connected to that personal account. So you do the personal first, all right? Then you can connect to the page, and you can choose which page. So I have a number of different pages that are associated with my personal account, and I can go in and choose which of those pages I want to connect with specifically. Okay, so I do that, so I've got everything connected here, and then I can also connect to my Bitly account. And what that does is, let's say that you've purchased a short domain, you know, like Chris might purchase chr.is for his links. And if he wanted to tweet his links out with that short domain, then you can connect to your Bitly account and do that. Okay, so you can do that right there. And then, if you have the enhanced dashboard menu up, and currently this is, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but currently this is a Labs feature. It'll be rolled out in full in 2017. If you don't have the enhanced dashboard menu, then you would just click into the traffic settings and then go find the social scheduler. All right? And then click on Add New, and that will bring you to this page. And this is where you can add a social schedule item. Okay, so I started creating one right here. So we had, I just did this morning actually. We had a podcast for our radio show that we published to our site earlier today. And so if I were going in to create a social media post, this is exactly what I would do. So I would give it a unique title. So this is our sixth radio show. So just give it a unique title. This is not going to be seen by people on Twitter or Facebook. This is just so you know what it is. And then you want to select the social profiles. Now, I am very, very particular when I am sending something out to social media. And I'm going to do something different on Twitter than I do on Facebook. So I do each one individually because I just, you know, they're different sites and I think they require a little bit of a different approach. So I don't do a one-size-fits-all for LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter. I do them individually. So I choose Twitter because that's the one that I want to do first. So you select your account right there. And then instead of having to go out and find the URL on the homepage or go back into your edit posts and search through for the post that you want, you can just start searching. You know, if you know the first word of the title, just start typing it in and posts will come up. And so you find the one that you want, the relevant one. And for me, it was this one, Radio Show Podcast, IU Butler Preview. Choose that. And then the link is going to be automatically populated. The content is automatically populated with the headline and with the link, and you'll notice that the link is shortened. So I have this shortened link that I used when I connected my Bitly account. That's the account that I connected to. And so it's got the correct URL here, and then it shortens it for me automatically right there, so I don't have to go in and do that on my own. Now, next, social media, you probably want to add an image. And so you can click Add an Image, and you use the basic media, you know, add image interface that you're used to. And so I'm using the same social image that I had for the post. And so I just go in and find, in my media gallery, I find the image that I want. You can choose the correct size, click Insert into Post. That will be saved right there. So I've got my image, and then I can schedule my share. So I can schedule it to go out right now, or I can choose a custom time for it. And if you choose a custom time, so I did mine just 10 minutes out, you can choose whatever time, whatever date for it to go out. Choose that, and then you're good. And then you just click schedule, and this will be added to your social schedule queue right here. And so while it's scheduled, it will have a note right here that says scheduled. It will tell you the date that it's scheduled. And then once it sends, you'll see this little green check mark, and you will know that it has sent and that it's ready to go. And so you can go in and add a new social schedule, go through and do the same thing. And maybe you want to send this one to Facebook, or maybe you want to send this one to LinkedIn. So this just shows you what it looks like. So in case you're wondering, well, does this look how I would want it to look on Twitter when it goes through, this is what it looked like. So it had the title, it had the link right there, had the hashtag that I added, plus my image right there, looked exactly like I wanted it to. And then again, now you can go back and select whichever social profile you want. And so I'll get in here in just a minute and talk about how you add the social buttons to your blog posts. But before we go there, Chris, real quick on social scheduling, because I know we've talked about some things that we want to add to that in the future. So anything else to add to what social scheduling can do right now, And then, you know, we can't give specifics right now, but this is a feature that we are working on to add some new elements to in the future.
Yes, selfishly speaking, you and I want to boost this because we don't want to use the duct tape solutions that we've cobbled together.
Yes.
So we're invested, I think, is the answer. So, yeah, that covers things right now. I mean, one of the things that we're going to do to enhance this is the social schedule posts are going to appear on the editorial calendar. So if you're not familiar with the editorial calendar, right now your podcasts and your draft posts and your published posts appear on a calendar that you can view to see at a glance what you've got coming up and what you've already done. The social posts are going to turn up on there as well, and you'll be able to create the post from there. Right now you can say, I want to schedule this social to go out when the post goes live. You could be able to do that from within the post. So you'd be able to write a blog post and say, I want this social to go out at the same time that this goes out. So you'll not have to do two different things. And then we're looking at some other things that people have been asking for that I can't really talk about right now, but you can probably imagine by looking at all the other services out there what we're kind of talking about.
Yeah, and Chris, and you and I have used a lot of the other services and gotten some ideas from those, you know, and so, you know, I think trying to bring some of the best of what they do into what we're doing with Rainmaker is certainly the goal.
You know, well, make it part of the workflow of Rainmaker, because one of the advantages is you don't have to go to a third-party tool. You don't have to copy and paste a URL. You don't have to upload the images in two different places, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think, you know, being able to send the same one out, you know, multiple times, doing some of those things, because those are some of the common questions that we get, and certainly we hear those, and those are all elements that we want to be in there as well.
Or by tag or by category. So they're all the things we want to do, and so they'll be coming. It's just when you're talking about anybody's social media accounts, you've got to be really careful, because you don't want to send the wrong thing just because you're rushing to get it out to please everybody, you know, in pace. So we have to do it steadily and consciously and meticulously so that we're not embarrassing people, because, you know, you're giving people access to their social media accounts.
Yep. But that is a run-through of how that works right now. Now let's talk about the other element of social media inside of Rainmaker that you can do. And this, if you go to your settings, this click the settings icon, click on traffic, this will take you to your traffic settings. And so this allows you to turn your sharing icons on or off. Okay, and so sharing icons like Twitter icons, Facebook icons on your posts, you can put them on posts, you can put them on pages, on attachments, portfolios, books, forms. So, I mean, you have some granular control of where you want these to show up, and you can determine what size you want the icons to be, whether you want the icon appearance to be filled or just an outline, whether you want them to appear after the content, before the content, after and before the content. So you have some options there. And then you have some options in terms of which icons you want to use. So Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, StumbleUpon, and LinkedIn, and you just very easily click those buttons. If you want to use it for Twitter, then you can also add your Twitter account if you want it to be added as the default, which is always, I think, a good idea, so I've always added that for me. And then with Pinterest, you can actually enter a default image if there's no image available, so you can put that in there as well. And so here's an example of my page. I didn't have these social media icons on earlier today. Part of that is because I use SumoMe, and so I've used SumoMe's social media icons. But here's what this page would look like without the icons. And then I went in and I added them just to my podcast page. So this page right here is just a podcast page. So I went in, clicked just on podcasts, and then I chose to add Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And then I chose the medium bar, chose them to be filled, chose them to come in before the content, and then you can see them right there. And the reason why they are grayed out is just some custom CSS on my site where I believe it's secondary buttons are gray instead of red like normal buttons. But if you don't have that CSS on, then you would actually see the colors of the actual icons, I believe. But that is the very simple process that you go through to add these buttons to your site. And again, you can add them before the content, below the content, and it's very, very simple and easy to do, and you have control over where they show up as well.
Yeah, and there's a little ninja trick, actually. If those buttons aren't especially what you want, for example, if you want to put social share buttons into an email, for example, what you can do to get the basic structure of those social share links, the actual links rather than the graphical buttons, in the copy HTML button, so if you create a new post or create a page, there's a copy HTML button on your toolbar, and that allows you to copy the content from that post or page as HTML to paste in somewhere else. But it also has an add share links button at the bottom. And you're going to go and do it. Excellent. Right. So when you click add share links, down at the bottom, if you scroll right down, it appends the HTML for share links at the bottom. And those share links will tweet or share to Facebook, for example, the page URL or post that you are on. So say you're doing an email about a blog post and you want people to share the blog post, then you go into that blog post, do copy HTML, and grab those share links at the bottom. It's that starting at UL, where it's like UL, LI.
Yeah. Let me show folks.
Yeah.
Right here.
So if you're not familiar with HTML, that looks like garbage. But trust me, those are the Facebook and Twitter and share links for that blog post for when it's live. So you could copy that into the HTML of your broadcast email.
Yep. Yeah, and that's exactly what I do. I actually sent this exact blog post out as an email, and I actually have a text expander. I have some standard share buttons that I use, and I just paste them at the bottom of every email. Really simply, and you can also do it this way as well. So either way, whichever way works easiest.
And when you test that email, send it to yourself to test it, you can see if there's any copy you want to add to those links. But that's just a quick way of adding it where the buttons aren't there by default, right?
Yep. All right, and then Chris, we have a new feature, Medium Syndication. Do you want to walk folks through how that works? Because I'm pretty excited about this one.
Yeah, so for people not completely familiar with online or web syndication, it basically means putting your stuff everywhere you can, right? Sharing it out, spreading it out. So if we syndicate comic strip, it means it appears in lots of different newspapers. If you syndicate a TV show, it appears on lots of networks. Medium syndication basically means when you create a blog post, you can also have it shared to Medium. So the first objection people usually have is, no, I don't want to do that because Google will punish us. No, Google loves this, and I'll show you why. So it starts by connecting Medium to your website. So you have to enable it in Labs because it's a Labs feature right now. So you go into your Labs, enable the Medium module, and then it asks for an integration code token. So you have to go to your Medium account and get that. And there's a link in the setup that takes you to the right place. But you have to get the integration token. So you give it a name. So I've called it Rainmaker, and click Get Integration Token, and it gives you a long string of text that you then have to paste in. So on the next screen, we'll go to where it asks for that in the site. So this is actually in your profile, your user profile. So two different users can have two different Medium profiles. So you put your integration token in, and then you answer these questions. Do you want it to, by default, cross-post public and live on Medium? Yes or no? Do you want to go as draft, or do you want it to go as public? And the license, default cross-post license, is there a Creative Commons license that you would like to use to say what people are allowed to do with that content? So the default is all rights reserved. That means that nobody's allowed to copy it. But if you want to share it and you want them to be able to copy and paste it, then there are different Creative Commons licenses. And the usual one to use is attribution. They have to attribute, they have to link back to you. And that keeps Google happy, keeps you happy. And then default cross-link status. So this is part of where we're getting into the Google stuff. If you link out and it links back, that's an extra place that people are going to find you, and it's an extra place for Google to follow, right? So it's good to get links. And then, do you want to notify your followers? So if you've got followers on Medium, do you want to notify them? And then on Medium, so Medium is owned by Twitter, right, Joe? It's one of their services?
I believe so.
And it's like their long form text service. So, you know, Twitter's 140 characters, Medium is longer than that. Within Medium, you can have publications. They're like online magazines. You don't have to have them, but you can create a publication. So like when Jared was showing you what page do you want to post it to, that's the equivalent on Medium, what part of your Medium account do you want to send it to. So if we go to the next section, after you've filled all that out, in your post screen, you'll now have in the sidebar this Medium section, and I'm showing you what it looks like for my MakerHacks account, which I created especially for this demo because I don't usually use it, but I'm going to start because it's pretty cool. So I've only got one post on there, and that was for this. But you see I'm using Creative Commons license where people have to attribute. They have to, if they copy it and paste it somewhere, they have to attribute me. And I cross-post as public because when the post goes live, I want my Medium to go live. I want to notify my zero Medium followers and I don't have a publication. So you can see when you create a post in your Rainmaker site, it'll send it to Medium and it'll link back. So if we go to the next step, this is what it looks like. So I've hit publish and it says, yep, it's successfully created the post on Medium and it's updated the post. So then in the next step, I click through and that's what it looks like on Medium. So that was the only post I had that would work on Medium because it's they tend to be like think pieces, right? They tend to be people editorializing.
Yeah. And you did nothing in Medium for this. It was just all automatic from
all
your blog
automatic.
Post.
I'd never used Medium. I'd checked Medium out. I had an account, but this is the first time I'd ever properly posted to Medium, and I did it through Rainmaker. I didn't know anything about really Medium at this stage.
Also, Chris, Tawana has promised to follow you on Medium, so you're getting your Medium follower count up by
excellent.
Being on this webinar.
I'm going to have one. Excellent. So if we go to the next slide, what we've basically achieved there is we've cross-posted to two different sites, and that's great. But this is why Google loves it. It says originally published at the source document, so it's linking back. And you can optionally say on your Rainmaker site that it was also published on Medium, so you cross-link it. And why would Google be okay with that? Well, it's because we've got this canonical tag. So this HTML code here says canonical, this is the original, is at the Rainmaker site. So Medium has a copy. So if Google wants to say which is the authoritative version of this, which is the original, which should I show in search engines, it'll choose your Rainmaker one. Because what you're doing is you're cross-posting your Rainmaker content to a different audience, but you're not saying it's a unique article, you're saying it's a copy of this that already existed.
Yeah. Not to mention, if someone comes to your site and they like reading content on Medium, you alert to them that, hey, this is over on Medium too, and you can connect with me over there.
Yeah, another place to find you, another place to follow you. And, you know, it could open some doors you didn't have before. And it's a nice juicy link for people to follow or click through.
It is.
So Google's okay with this. Now, the people talk about a duplicate content penalty. There's no duplicate content penalty, but what they do is they filter out things they think are duplicate. And you want to filter out the copy, not the original. So this makes it so Google knows which is the original, that knows that the Rainmaker site is the authority, and it's just sharing it somewhere else.
All right, so Roslyn, I saw that you asked a question about curation. And so we're going to talk about curation next because Rainmaker has some pretty cool curation tools that I don't think we've talked about on one of these webinars before. And so I want to talk about them here. So if you are in your dashboard, go to your content menu and click on RSS feeds. It's down there under tools. Okay, RSS feeds. So what this allows you to do, and, you know, depending on what you use to follow RSS, maybe you use Feedly. You know, there's obviously lots of different services. I personally have been a Feedly person myself. But you can actually track RSS feeds right here in your Rainmaker site. And so let's say that you're doing a curated email newsletter and there are, you know, 15 to 20 sites that you typically follow to pull articles from. Well, this can really help you put your curated email newsletter together in a more efficient way. So, for example, on the assembly call, we do a weekly curated email newsletter every Saturday morning. And so what I do here is when after you click on RSS feeds, it brings you to this page, Feed Articles. And so you can click this button up here, New RSS Feed, and then this window will pop up. And so you put in the title of your feed, you copy in the URL, and you tell it the max number of feed articles to store in the database. And so it will keep the 10 most recent articles, and then when a new article comes up, the oldest article gets bumped off, and so it keeps 10, but it's constantly refreshing. And so you click Add RSS Feed. And so you can see before, by default, it has your own site in there. And so now when I click Add RSS Feed, now we've got articles from Inside the Hall mixed in. And so I can go do that for other sites, Indianapolis Star, all these other sites that have content about IU basketball, and they're all in here. And so you may say, okay, that's great, but what real benefit does that provide me if I'm doing a curated email newsletter that I can't get just from being inside Feedly? Well, when you are in there creating a new post, you can actually insert RSS articles really, really simply. And so if you are using the visual editor, and you click on this button right here, it's got the little RSS logo, and you hover over it, it says Insert RSS Article. This is going to bring up another little menu for you here that says Insert Articles from RSS Feeds. And so it shows you the most recent articles that are in there. You can also search, maybe there's a specific keyword that you want to search for. You know there was an article from 3 days ago that you saw, but it's not in your five most recent, so you want to search for it real quick. It'll bring it up. You can also, let me show you back here, you can also favorite articles. So say you're going through, oh yeah, okay, I definitely want that one. You can click the star there, you can click the star on this one. And then when you're in here, you can filter just by your favorites, which is kind of nice, all right? And then you can also tell it if you want to include the article excerpt. And so I'll show you what that means. So let's say that I want to click on these two articles because I know that I want them to go in my newsletter. I know I want to include the excerpt. Then I'm going to click insert articles and they pop up right there, with the title of the article, the link out to the original source, plus the excerpt, and it's all right there. Because if you've done any type of curated email newsletter, you know that, you know, it's a little bit annoying and a little bit time consuming to have to go copy the link and then copy an excerpt and do all of that. Well, you can do all of this from right there inside of your Rainmaker dashboard. And obviously you've seen, you know, examples like what Brian does with Further and with Unemployable, and creating a curated email newsletter is something we've talked a lot about. And Rainmaker is obviously built to do that for you, you know, with all of the email services that are built into it. And so really taking advantage of the RSS feature can help make your curated email newsletter creation a more efficient process. Chris, anything to add to the RSS feature description?
No, I think you've got it. As you say, it really comes down to finding good feeds and good feeds with good stories that are valuable. So the curation is where your authority comes from. It's like your taste. It's like being a curator of a gallery. It's or a museum. It's down to your taste and your selectivity. But once you get a reputation for finding good stuff, that builds your authority. And it's not like you're having an easy time, because it's all about finding those good sources.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple quick questions. Shirley asks, is there a website you can search for RSS feeds that might be of interest but you're not yet aware of? I use Feedly for that. They actually have a Discover feature that is pretty nice. But in general, you can go search for a site like you normally would, and most sites will have RSS. And in fact, if it's a WordPress-based site, you can basically just put feed at the end of the URL, and a feed will usually pop up. So that's always my first check, is I just do a quick check and type feed at the end if they don't have a little RSS button in their navigation somewhere. And 8 times out of 10, that gives me an RSS feed and I can use it. Chris asks, when inserting RSS into the curated email, will the image show up? Not right now. You'd have to add the image separately if you wanted that to come up in here.
But there's also a licensing issue in that the more you excerpt, the more into a gray area of copying. So really you want to be editorializing as much as possible, so you add in some original thought. I think adding your own images would make a better product as well.
Yep, and Fred asks, how do you create an RSS feed-based broadcast email? Hold that thought, Fred, because I'm going to get back into Rainmail here in a second, and I'll show you where you do that, because there's a pretty simple option in Rainmail. So let's talk about landing pages and email, Chris, because we got a few questions about this. And so I want to make sure that we dive in here. And here are just a couple of the questions that we got. Amy asked, my question is, how do you use Rainmaker to design an irresistible landing page? great adjective, and how to integrate it with an effective automated email campaign to build a list. Mike asked, I'm pretty new to the Rainmaker platform, so this is a very basic question, but could Chris and Jared talk about how to make use of the landing pages capability in Rainmaker to create and build a sales funnel?
Absolutely. Before we get into this, funnel is the operative word, and we're doing a lot of work behind the scenes so that you can make funnels, but right now, today, we're talking about landing pages connecting to email lists, so
yes.
That's something to keep in mind for the future.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to do a live demo for landing pages. And we know how live demos go, so we're not sure if this is being brave or completely insane. We're going to give this a try anyway. So so bear with me if anything happens with my internet or or something goes wrong. It can't happen on these live demos, but I think we should be good to go. So what I want to do is I want to start out by saying, you know, if we look at Amy's question about how do you create an irresistible landing page, I want to alert you to the gallery page on rainmakerplatform.com, because I go here every now and then when I want inspiration, because all of these sites have done something really interesting with Rainmaker, and there are featured sites, there's online trainers and coaches, content marketers, service providers, so depending on who you are and what your site is, there are examples here of sites that are doing really interesting things with Rainmaker, and so I like to go here and just see what they're doing. And so, you know, as an example, Mountainside Media. So I can go and they have some freebies that they're giving away. So what are they doing with their landing pages, right? And I can look and see how they've used Rainmaker's landing page function to put together a very basic landing page here. Obviously, they have this freebie, a fast start guide to marketing research. They're collecting email addresses. And so that's usually the first place that I start, is looking elsewhere for kind of some inspiration, seeing what they did, and then going back into the Rainmaker landing page tool, and then seeing how I basically recreate that, because it's pretty simple, you know, to take a landing page like this and go back and recreate it in Rainmaker. And so I think that's a really good place to start, and that's just rainmakerplatform.com/gallery. Now, what I want to do is I want to walk you through a couple of landing pages that I have on my site, assemblycall.com. And one of the reasons why I like to use this site when we're doing demos is simply because, you know, it's straight Rainmaker. You know, we love Rafal and all the great work that he does for us at Rainmaker and Digital Commerce Institute, but I don't get the luxury of Rafal on this site. So this is all just basic Rainmaker stuff that you see here. And so I've used the Rainmaker landing page tool to create three different landing pages. And what's always so important to remember about any landing page is to understand what your single goal is for that landing page. And then there are many, many options within Rainmaker that will help you achieve that goal. So this landing page right here, this is our live page. The goal of this page is to focus attention on our live show so that when people come after the games, they watch the show and they participate in the chat. All right, that is the goal here. Now, we also have a secondary goal, and we actually use, we have a pop-up with SumoMe for this, that when people are here, when they go to exit the page, we ask them if they want to join the email list. But the goal here is to focus people's attention right here on the show and on the chat. Now, if you go in and edit this landing page, the way that the landing page is set up makes it very, very easy to do this. So out on the main page here, this is the structure of the page obviously will stay the same, but this video is different and this chat is different for each game. I go in and create that separately. So then when I want to come in here and edit this, all I have to do is edit this single widget right here. I just have to put my new YouTube code in right there, and it's done. And I don't have to mess with anything else. And when, you know, I'm having our interns go in and do this, it's very easy to tell them where to go, because it's not a big page with everything, you know, there and that they could get confused with. It's, hey, that first widget, all you do is go edit that. Same thing here. And we can actually use show to and hide from so that only our members can see the live chat. So Rainmaker's landing pages have that flexibility to allow you to show certain content to people with a certain access level and hide it from people who don't have the access level. And so that allows us, for people who come and watch the show but aren't members, we can entice them to become members because they want to be able to join in and get the chat. So that's one landing page, one goal. All right. The next landing page here is our join page, and this is where we are encouraging people to become members. So like any good landing page, we're trying to hit people with our main benefit right at the top, so get more out of being an Indiana basketball fan, join this fast-growing global community. We've got a testimonial right here, And then you see this, it says you're already a member because I'm logged in. All right, well, if I go look at this as someone who is not logged in, it's a different view. And so now I've got my checkout form right here for people who want to join in and become members. All right, and then we've got over here all of our features. So we want to let people know exactly what they're getting. And then we've got some testimonials down here at the bottom. And it's the same thing, okay? If we go in and look at this landing page right here, the testimonials are easy to add. The features are easy to add one by one. You just go in here, the feature title, the feature description, which should include the benefit of the feature. And then you can obviously choose your icon. And then all I did to be able to have that form there is this piece of code right here, checkout form, and then the product ID, all right? And that's what allowed me to put this form in right here so that it's actually embedded there and people can become members, not just subscribers of a list, but members of the site right there, okay? And again, this is all done using Rainmaker's landing page. And then the last landing page that I want to show you is the one that we have for just regular subscriptions, so for an email list. I'm gonna walk you through how this is all connected here in just a second. So this is for people who aren't members, they're just going to subscribe to just the email list, right? You can see it's a little bit of a different format for the landing page. This is using one of Rainmaker's landing page templates. And then right here is just the very simple subscribe form, email address, their first name and their last name. So again, very important to understand what the goal of the landing page is and then choose the right design so that you really zero folks in on what that goal is. All right, now, if we go to, so let's say that you want to add a new landing page. You want to go up to Add New and then Landing Page. And so you can either start from a pre-built template. So you can come in here and use one of these pre-built templates. And so maybe you're going to have a video right there that you want to have an opt-in with. Maybe this is a pricing page. Okay, whatever it is, you can choose one of those pre-built templates, or you can choose, instead of that, you can use the template builder and basically start with something a little bit more basic. So a lot of times I like going with just a blank one, and I'll just start blank and start adding the sections that I need and designing it from scratch. But there are obviously proven ways that this works for opt-in forms, for registration forms, and so you can use one of those as well. And so let's say that we want to just create a simple opt-in form, because that this gets back to Amy's question, right? How do I create an irresistible landing page that I can then encourage people to subscribe with? And then, you know, we talk about moving people, you know, through a funnel and getting people from attraction to retention to conversion. So let's go in here to a pre-built template, and let's say that we want to use Monument because we like the way that it looks and we're going for a quick email opt-in. All right, so you would choose this template right here, and obviously you would add your title, you can add a heading and a subheading, there are a bunch of different settings that you can choose, but this has your opt-in widget right here ready for you. So you'll open up the opt-in widget, and then you can choose your email service. And so I'm using Rainmail on this site, so I would use Rainmail. If you're using ConvertKit or MailChimp, whatever it is, as long as it's connected to your Rainmaker site, it will pop up, and then you can choose the list. So whichever list, so maybe this is to get people on the newsletter, you would choose the newsletter list, your button text, you know, you can add subscribe. You want to choose what thank you page they go to, and then you can add a confirmation message as well. So you have a bunch of different options here, and then hit save, hit publish, and there you go. And then when people go to that page, just like right here, when they subscribe here, I'll take you to the back end of this landing page, so you can see on that opt-in form, when they subscribe, they are going to the IU Hoops newsletter. Okay, so we've created this landing page, we've articulated the benefits, now we've gotten people onto the newsletter. So the next step then is obviously you have to take them on some kind of journey once they're subscribed. And so if we go into our email settings, what I do here, so for our IU Hoops newsletter list, in the settings, when someone subscribes to the newsletter, I automatically subscribe them to our IU Hoops newsletter welcome sequence. Okay, so let's go in and let's look at this welcome sequence. So I've got two different sequences, because you got to understand, the goal for us is the majority of our revenue is generated from donations that come from our members and also from sponsors, from people who have subscribed to the podcast and listened time after time. So we really want to connect with people, get them to membership, because that's where the majority of our listeners and our downloads come from. But not, you know, not everybody, especially in our audience, is ready to join even a free membership right away. So we have to kind of warm them up. So we have this newsletter sequence. You know, all they got to do is give us their email address. They get on this newsletter sequence. And so we kind of walk them through. I have a 7-day email sequence here. And it's not all just pitches to join the membership, right? So if we look at the preview for this, you know, we're trying to have a little bit of fun with this, remind them of why they signed up, what are the benefits of signing up, and then, hey, how can you get even more? Activate your free membership to the assembly call. Okay, and then we walk them through other ways that they can connect with us, that kind of thing. And then we have several other emails that are just content-based. So who is the greatest Hoosier of all time? Here are two ways to subscribe to a show. Here's a link to a great episode that we did in the past. And then on the 7th day, top 7 reasons that you should join the assembly call for free. So we hit them a little bit harder with a stronger call to action. And then the goal, of course, is to get them to join the membership. And when they join the membership, they get placed on our assembly call free member list. And when they do that, we add them to the autoresponder for the free membership. Now, if we go back over here and we look at the free membership autoresponder, so we've obviously worked people already through from the newsletter to the membership, and some people, of course, skip right to the membership if they've gone to our join page, and that's obviously great if they do that. We can skip the step of the previous autoresponder, but it's the same thing. We welcome them. You know, we let them. We kind of show them around the membership. So we show them about the forum, give them, you know, tips on how to subscribe, and then after 7 days, the 5 best ways that you can support the show. Right, and obviously we take them through how they can donate, how they can subscribe, which helps us drive the listenership numbers, how they can buy gear, that kind of thing. But it all starts, this is where most people's first contact with the show is, which is right here on our live page. And we're not really hitting people too hard with the subscription yet, at least to the email list, because I want them to subscribe to us on YouTube, subscribe to the podcast, and then guess what the first call to action is in our podcast? It's, hey, go to assemblycall.com/join, get on our email list, get all of our best content. And then when they do that, that gets them on the sequence. And we've seen a lot of people go through that sequence, and then, you know, some people will then end up supporting the show right here, or we have some other automated emails that come out later, you know, or we send out some donation emails a couple times a year to the people who are on our membership. But that's kind of an overview of how we use the landing page tool with a couple of different goals for different landing pages to get people to these email sequences, which are automated. I don't have to do anything else with them. It's all here in the back end Rainmaker, and it kind of does the heavy lifting for us, which is obviously very helpful. So, Chris, I talked a lot. There are probably some questions.
Before we get to the questions, I put my nerdy landing page link in the chat, if you can just bring that up.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to connect the landing pages back to some of what we were saying about the social media and the SEO. So this is my ultra nerdy robot and making based landing page. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to get people to sign up because there's a free robot course, and it's a very similar template to the email one that Jared showed. So I've got all the features on the left hand side and the benefits, and on the right hand side I've got the email form. I found that Facebook didn't like that image at the top. And it was because the version I originally had lots of text on. So you see it says sign up now. Facebook's not right keen on images with lots of text. And I was actually started boosting this in Facebook with money. I was paying for advertising, so I wanted to be completely in sync with their rules. But in the landing pages tool, there's actually a place where you can tweak the social. So if you have ever seen the Facebook debugger, and I'm going to put that into the chat. Oh, yeah. So this is the Facebook debugger, and it allows you to see what Facebook sees. You go to that debug tool, you put in the link that you're wanting to look at, and it will allow you to analyze what Facebook sees when it looks at that page. So you can ignore that warning at the top. It's just saying you need to use the app ID. We don't need to use the app ID. We're just sharing our content.
Yeah.
And if you scroll down, it says I've got 527 likes and shares and comments and all this. You can see the image is different and the headline and the description is different. I tweaked that using the special place in the landing page tool to say, if Facebook comes looking, this is what you show Facebook.
Yeah, and that's right here. So if you're in the back, if you're editing a landing page, you can come back here to your SEO settings and then click on social. and then you can actually choose a separate title, a description, and an individual Facebook image. And I do this on all of my podcast episodes, actually. And it allows you to specify the image that's going to be in there.
Yeah, so I got a lot more traction when I made it tweaked, especially for Facebook. And I was spending money. You know, I wasn't spending a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money to spend on this stuff. But, you know, when you're spending money to boost it, you want it to be as successful as possible. So you want to test different images, different headlines, different descriptions without changing the actual landing page. So that landing page has been a great source of shares and email subscribers. And I do it the opposite way to Jared. Of course I do. I drive the email as the number one thing, and the second message after the welcome you get in my autoresponder sequence is, this is my other social media accounts that you can get more stuff. I want people to join the email, and then I say, hey, there's all this other great stuff in the second message.
Yep.
So that's attraction to retention. You know, that's the whole point of this landing page for me. I want to get people on the list.
Yep. And then I wanted to go back here. Fred had a question earlier about how you would do a blog RSS feed. So for any list, so let me just go in here, let's say on this test list, I could actually go in here, turn on the RSS feed, and I could just take any RSS feed on the site. So let's say my main RSS feed, can't type.
It would take the default, but would be, oh, you've missed a slash in a HTTP slash.
I know.
By default, so I could just take the domain you're on.
Yep, so I could just take that, or you could do a category feed or a podcast feed, so you can specify which feed, and then once you turn that on, then it will send emails when you publish a blog post.
Yeah, and I've actually done that. So my blog list, my main blog list, is an RSS, and I can still broadcast to it, and that's what I usually do, but anything tagged newsletter will automatically go to that. So if I'm feeling lazy, and if I haven't sent, and I do have a tendency to procrastinate and go into analysis paralysis, I can write a blog post and tag it as newsletter, and it'll go out automatically. I don't have to do a separate blog broadcast.
Yeah. So Tawana asks, do you find that your opt-in conversions are better with the form embedded into the landing page the way you all have done it on your pages? So let's go back to this page right here, because initially when I was going to do this, and again, this isn't for an email subscription, this is for an actual membership. So the alternative would have been having a button here that sent people to kind of a checkout page where people could check out to create their membership. And it is absolutely going to give you higher conversions having it right here on the page, because you're not asking people to click and, you know, go to a new page. You're always going to lose people if they have to click and go to a new page. You know, who knows what the percentage will be, but you will lose a portion of people, whereas if people are just here and they can just quickly fill this out. So you always want to try and reduce the friction that it will take to subscribe or to complete the call to action. So anytime that you can embed the form right there. Let me give you another example. So we're doing a meetup with our community in January, and so we announced it on the site, and I wanted to get, you know, just kind of a quick head count of how many people will be there. So I embedded a form right here on the page where people could, you know, put their name, put their email, let us know if they're going to attend, how many people, and then leave us a quick message and submit. And so this form is all right here on this page. Now, what's really cool is I added this form to an email list, and so if I go back in, you see this list right here for Assembly Call Meetup. These are all the people who have filled out this form. So now as the event gets closer and I want to let people know who have expressed interest in the event, instead of having to go in and, you know, do it manually and put that together manually, it's all automatic, and I can just go in and add a broadcast email, send an email right to these folks. So anytime that you want people to perform some kind of action, and here it was RSVPing, anytime that you can put that form right there and then link a form to an email list, or, and you could, you know, you could tag people as well, but for me it made the most sense, you know, to just link a new list to the form, but you could have done it the other way too, but it's always easier to do it right there. Reduce the friction on the folks that you're asking an action of, and reduce the friction for yourself of having to do extra work to organize it all later. And that's if you're using forms, you can link a form to an email list in whatever email account you're using. Alrighty. Yeah, and a lot of people have asked, this is being recorded, and we will email you once the recording is up. Just to let you know, we've been posting these at, if you go to, I think it's at blog. So if you go to blog and webinars, the webinars are all posted right here. And we'll make this a little bit more. We haven't actually put this into the navigation of the site yet. We will. We're going to be using the Rainmaker blog more in 2017. So you can be on the lookout for that. But we'll post all the webinars right there, and you can watch the old ones there as well.
Eating our own dog food. Don't you like?
That's right.
So a question from earlier, Sherry asks, in inbound marketing, we look to attraction. If we're integrating an email list, are we leveling our audience? For instance, if someone is a casual participant, they will be more limited information than our return customers. Should we set up an accelerated list? This is why you want to get people onto an autoresponder sequence that warms them up. So yeah, it's an acceleration process. It's an engagement process. So in our first welcome, we'll say, welcome, this is what you're going to get, this is what to expect, this is why you should listen to us, and here's how to get in touch, please hit reply if you've got any questions. So you start that process of taking them from casual to getting to know you and seeing that you can be valuable to them and help them.
Hey, Chris, to verify, because I did say that you could do a podcast feed for the blog RSS. You can do that, right? And it will send a notification of the when a new podcast episode is published with a podcast feed post type?
My understanding is that if it's a valid RSS feed, which the podcast will be, then sure, yeah.
Okay. I thought so. I just wanted to double check because a couple people had...
Amelia and Brian can correct me in the question box, but I believe if it's a valid feed, it will work.
Yeah. All right, so that wasn't completely insane. That worked okay, right? The live demo?
I think so.
Always makes me sweat a little bit. Okay, so what about SEO? And several of you asked about SEO, and there are really robust tools inside of Rainmaker for SEO. And so instead of Chris and I trying to cover that in this session, we actually talked with the great Sean Jackson, our CFO here at Rainmaker Digital, and also the creator of Scribe. And he has agreed to come on and do a special webinar in 2017 where we're going to tackle just SEO. So we'll walk through all the SEO tools which are in Rainmaker and talk not just about how to use them, but also Sean is really, really smart when it comes to SEO strategy and really, really up to date on what's the latest in terms of what works and what you should be doing. So we don't have a date for that yet. Be on the lookout for it, but that's why we're not addressing it today. We figured instead of trying to shoehorn it in here, let's expand it, give it its due in its own webinar, because Rainmaker really does have some powerful tools, and Sean is the best person in the company to talk about it.
And this is anecdotal, but I'm deep, elbow deep with Rainmaker because I'm involved in the development of it, and I was blown away how Google loves my Rainmaker site. It's a nerdy niche site, and Google absolutely laps it up. I don't understand why it's so much better than my old WordPress sites, and I think it has to be because of the site speed and because of the HTML structure of the themes and everything combined. You know, my nerdy niche site, Google sent over 4,000 visitors in the last 30 days, and the site's only been around 11 months. So, you know, it's gone from absolutely zero to, you know, Google being skeptical of it to Google sending lots of traffic. It's almost a new site. So Sean is very much leading the SEO side of everything we do and was the creator of Scribe. So he's definitely somebody you want to listen to.
Yep. Alrighty. Well, with that said, Chris, this was fun. That went fast. Can I just say that was a really fast session. So thank you to everybody for being here and for your enthusiasm in the question box. We will let you know when the replay is up. And we are going to put together a calendar. I know, you know, we've kind of been emailing you one off when these webinars are going to happen. We'll have a calendar for the new year so you can kind of see the roadmap with the different webinars, the different topics that we'll be going over. So be on the lookout for that. We will announce that, and we look forward to hitting the ground running in the new year.
And also, just know, you know, should these be short? Should there be longer? Are the topics that we haven't covered yet that you need covering? Because we're doing them for you.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Chris, I'm going to go pop some Ricola like candy.
Yeah, I need to get some more Sudafed. Empty my box.
Yes. Well, have a great weekend, everybody, and we will talk to you soon on the next Rainmaker webinar.